Which Gospels do you want? Which Gospels do you want to use as the basis for your religious beliefs? The ones that were inspired by the Holy Spirit? The ones that were written in the first century by the four men whose images adorn the back wall of our sanctuary, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, from right to left? Or do you want the ones that were written much later by the so-called Gnostics? That word is spelled G, capital G, N-O-S-C-I-C-S. The G is silent. Talking here about writings like the Gospel of Judas, which was in the news a lot in the mid-2000s. Some of you may remember that. Talking about works like the Gospel of Thomas, which was made famous a number of years ago in the movie Stigmata. The Gospel of Peter. The Gospel of Philip and the like. Now please don't be fooled, my brothers and sisters. These Gnostic Gospels weren't actually written by the apostles themselves. Rather, Gnostic authors put the names of the apostles on their writings in order to deceive real Christians and lead them away from the true faith. At this time, let me say a brief word or two about Gnosticism itself, since people today are still buying into it, believe it or not. Case in point, Dan Brown, the much-celebrated author of The Da Vinci Code. I hope you realize the so-called deep insights about Jesus and Christianity that Dan Brown shares in that book are nothing more than lies that he ripped off from ancient Gnostic writings. They're not new truths. They're simply old lies. The latest popular manifestation of these lies, incidentally, is in the transgender movement, of all places, especially in how people in that movement view the human body. More about that in a minute. The name itself, Gnosticism, comes from a Greek word, gnosis, meaning knowledge. Gnostics were people who considered themselves to be in the know. In the know with respect to the deep mysteries of God and the universe. They thought they were smarter and more spiritually enlightened than everyone else, which is one reason why the philosophy is still very popular today. In our pride, we like to think we know things that other people don't know. Spiritual secrets, other secrets, like our true sexual identity that ordinary men and women don't know. In the early centuries of Christianity, the followers of Gnosticism were a lot like people in the contemporary New Age movement. That is to say, they were not members of one single organization. Rather, they were people from many different groups who embraced similar ideas about life, about God, and about salvation. For example, the Gnostics did not believe that Jesus Christ was truly human, as genuine Christians did. To them, his humanity was merely an illusion. Consequently, in their view, Jesus didn't experience death on the cross. He only appeared to die. As one author put it, his crucifixion was really a crucifixion, C-R-U-C-I-F-I-C-T-I-O-N. Nor did they believe that Jesus was the second person of the Blessed Trinity. To them, Jesus was an eon, a created being on a level somewhere between God and humans. Now, Gnostics sometimes disagreed about particular issues, but all of them agreed on one crucial point. Physical matter is evil. That includes the human body, whereas the human soul or spirit is good. This explains why in the Gospel of Judas, Judas is considered a hero, helping to get Jesus killed. That's why in the Gospel of Judas, Jesus says to his betrayer, "But you, Judas, will exceed all the others, for you will sacrifice the man that clothes me." In other words, Judas, by betraying me and getting me crucified, you'll be doing me a big favor. You'll be helping me to get rid of this evil body that I have. You'll help to set my spirit free from this flesh that holds it in bondage. And when you really stop and think about it, my brothers and sisters, you have to admit, there's something rather appealing about that particular Gnostic teaching. You see, if your body is bad, then it obviously doesn't matter what you do with it. You can pump it with drugs and alcohol every day, You can have any kind of sex you want, as often as you want. You can mutilate your body and take harmful drugs to try to become a member of the opposite sex. When it comes to your flesh, there are no rules you have to follow. It's rather appealing, is it not? That's why people like Dan Brown think it's great. Now, this, of course, is exactly the opposite of what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John teach in their Gospels. They teach that matter is good, not evil. In that famous passage we all know, John 3:16, Jesus doesn't say, "For God so hated the world." He says, "For God so loved the world." God doesn't hate the material universe or consider it to be evil. After all, he's the one that made it. In fact, he uses matter to give us his grace, does he not, in the sacraments? He'll do that at this Mass in a few moments. As the Vatican reminded us in a document that was released just this past week, which made reference to the transgender phenomenon, the document said, "The dignity of the body cannot be considered inferior to that of the person as such. And it follows that any sex change intervention, as a rule, risks threatening the unique dignity of the dignity the person has received from the moment of conception." God made it a material universe. Praise God. He also made it a moral universe, governed by laws and commandments. St. John says in today's second reading, says, "Those who say, 'I know the Lord, but do not keep his commandments,' are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps the word, the love of God is truly perfected in him." A staunch Gnostic of the first century would retch at a statement like that. Following the teaching of the real Gospels is much more difficult than following the teachings of Gnosticism, because following the real Gospels requires discipline and repentance and sacrifice. But in the long run, my friends, it's really much better. Trust me on that. Because if matter is really as bad as the Gnostics said it was, then it becomes almost impossible to argue against evils like the Holocaust and the terrorist attacks of 9/11. See, according to strict Gnostic principles, the Nazis did those 6 million Jews a big favor during the Second World War by setting them free, from their evil bodies. They weren't murderers. They were liberators. They did for the Jews and for many others what Judas did for Jesus according to the Gospel of Judas. The terrorists did the same for those who died in the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001. Do we really want to say that? Do we really want to rewrite history and call both the Nazis and the terrorists of 9/11 liberators? I hope not. But we would be forced to if we believe the Gnostic Gospels. We would even be forced to say that suicide is morally good, since the person who takes his own life frees himself from his own evil body. The real Jesus Christ that we worship here took on human flesh out of love for us. And he redeemed that flesh through his resurrection. That's the good news. Jesus didn't just come to save our souls from eternal death. He came to save all of us, soul and body, from eternal death. At 66 years of age, incidentally, that's a thought that appeals to me more and more. I like the thought of having a transformed, glorified body. It's freed from Parkinson's disease and prostate cancer and multiple myeloma and every other illness. Notice in today's gospel story from Luke 24 how determined Jesus is to get his disciples to understand that his resurrected body is real. He doesn't need to eat. His body's immortal, but he eats anyway. He does it to make it clear to his apostles that he's real. He tells them to touch his body. The Gnostics must have freaked out when they first read this story. It must have made them sick. That's why they felt so compelled to write their own fictitious accounts of Jesus' life. So what Gospels do you want? Which Gospels do you want to use as the basis of your religious beliefs? The four we have in the Bible or the Gnostic ones? I would tell you my personal answer to that question, but at this point I really don't think I need to. I'll only say that I hope and that I pray that your answer is the same as mine.